PFW.
Okay, welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni, and we're going to be spending the hour in. Okay, let's hear our theme, our music for today. This is Joni with a new engineer here. We're spending the hour honoring a very special ancestor whose birthday is today, Kulanji Olusegun. And Tony Browder is with me for the hour. And if we have that music, let me know. Redemption song we selected to honor Kulanji, but let's just jump into it. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Joni. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm very glad you're with me. We have a very special treat for you this morning. Some of you may remember a very, very special ancestor who was with us here on WPFW and out in the community for many, many years. Today is Kulanji's 95th birthday, and we're going to be going over his some of the highlights of his life. He was known as a Renaissance man, did many, many things. And perhaps we can start with Tony, would you like to share some of Kulanji's history or anything you'd like to say to start us off?
Well, for those people who have been listening to WPFW for more than three decades would be familiar with Kulanji's voice. He had this James Earl Jones baritone voice, and it was extremely pronounced. And whenever he spoke, like, what is that company, E.F. Hutton, whenever he spoke, he commanded your attention. And he had an air to him that equaled his voice, in that not only did his voice command your attention, but every time he spoke, he had something significant to say. And I was blessed to have listened to him on the airwaves of WPFW for a number of years before I actually met him. And then upon meeting him, he brought me into the WPFW circle, the WPFW community, and introduced me to several other hosts on the radio show, as well as a number of programmers. And we formed a study group, if you will. As a matter of fact, my fondest memories of Brother Kulanji is of him as the leader of the very first study group that I was a participant in. And it really laid the foundation for the work that I continue to do this very day. So I can't think of Brother Kulanji without thinking about how he impacted my life. And I'm honored to be on the air with you today, Joni, to celebrate his 95th birthday.
Absolutely. And I'm going to just read some notes, and then perhaps, Tony, you can give some more in-depth information. Kulanji, and both Tony and I were very close friends with Kulanji, as was many other members of the PFW family from different branches of the family. Kulanji was born April 21st, 1930. He passed when he was 83 years old, I believe, in 2013. He was from New York City, and that was one connection that Kulanji and I had, me being from New York City as well. And I was very proud to learn that Kulanji worked with youth, with young people who were so-called youth gangs in New York City. He became a key person, deputy field director of New York City's youth board. And Kulanji sometimes shared some of those stories with us. He came to the DC area in the mid-1970s. And some of you may remember one of the very special things Kulanji did was, and Tony couldn't, of course, remembers it very clearly as well, something called morning readings theater. And he did that from about 1978 into the early 90s. And many longtime listeners of PFW remember Kalonji's powerful voice, Tony described, actually doing readings from books and very special materials. And some of the things that he read, The Destruction of Black Civilization, The Prophet, The Secret Life of Plants, and he would read the whole book. And Tony might remember, because I didn't know Kalonji at that time, but it always struck me, that voice and what he was reading. Can you just share a little bit for the listeners about what that was like, the morning readings that Kalonji did for so many years?
Sure. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he came on either at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock.
Yes.
So typically on PFW, you had Lauren Love at 9 o'clock and then Ambrose Lane. Mm-hmm. And then you had morning reading. And morning reading was every day, every morning during the week. So you mentioned Kalonji would read several books, The Prophet or Destruction of Black Civilization. And Kalonji would read the entire book from cover to cover, however many days it took him to read the book. So you mentioned also that he read Destruction of Black Civilization. Now, Kalonji's reading of Destruction of Black Civilization was my first introduction to that book. And upon listening to him, I was just fascinated with the history that I was learning. And then I ultimately learned that Chancellor Williams lived in D.C., that he had taught at Howard, that he lived in an apartment building on 16th Street. So not only were we learning about African history, but we were also learning about living historians who were from the community, who Kalonji was introducing to us. And I would make it a point to listen to morning reading. I mean, that was one of my regular programs. No matter what I was doing, I would turn on morning reading and internalize this history or this knowledge that Kalonji shared with us. And so I saw him as a griot. I saw him as someone who was bringing the news to his community on a regular basis, so that after I met him and had a chance to know him pretty well, then I was able to make recommendations for books for him to read. And one of the books that I recommended to him that I was so pleased to hear on the air was a book written by Peter Tompkins and Christopher Boyd, a book called The Secret Life of Plants. And that book is significant for a couple of reasons. One reason is that there was a chapter in that book on the Dogon, and Stevie Wonder, in his album Journey Through the Secret Life of Plants, Journey Through the Secret Life of Plants, was an album that served as the soundtrack to the film it was released for a short period of time and didn't do well in the box office. But Stevie Wonder's soundtrack was an album where he toured the country with a full orchestra and played these songs that talked about plants, the secret relationship between plants and human beings. And there was a chapter in that book called The Wizard of Tuskegee that focused on George Washington Carver and detailed his life. Well, two things about the book and Stevie Wonder. On the album, Journey Through the Secret Life of Plants, there's a song that Stevie Wonder recorded at the Fescat Festival of Arts and Culture Festival that was held in Nigeria, I believe, in 1977. And Stevie Wonder recorded a song live called A Seed is a Star is a Seed. And it was about the Dogon cosmology. And so that had me fascinated about Stevie Wonder, the mere fact that he is a man who he was blind, but he was aware of the Dogon. He was aware of their association, their interest in the star Potolo and Sigitolo, the star system that we know today as Sirius A and Sirius B. and had sung this song in Africa about this very important festival that is related to the relationship of these two stars around each other and how this relationship maintains order in the universe. So I read the book, I referred it to Kalanje. He not only brought it to the airways of WPFW, and there was a coalition of other readers. There was Brother Kojo Oluhunio, who also was a really eccentric personality, but a wonderful brother, really wonderful brother. And as they took turns reading Secret Life of Plants, there was a sister who was part of that collective, and I'm forgetting her name, but she not only read the chapter on George Washington Carver, the Wizard of Tuskegee, but she knew a professor who taught in the science department or the physics department at Howard University, who was a student of George Washington Carver at Tuskegee. And she integrated her interview with him into the reading of that chapter. So that's the quality and the level of scholarship, of history and culture that Kalanje brought with him to WPFW. And it made, you know, his presence at the station so textured and so strong. He was one of the core anchors of WPFW. And so his presence there elevated the station. And you have to, you know, remember, I want your listeners to remember, but WPFW came on the air in 1977. So it was new, you know, playing jazz all the time. Plus you have someone like Kalanje and his cohort of readers reading books. So it was a new way of accessing information, of sharing information to a community that was starved for this truth. And, you know, that's one of my fondest memories of Kalanje,
yes,
and his work at WPFW. I'm sorry for going on, Joni. So
I'm
rambling. Please jump in.
I'm going to jump in now because we could spend the whole day talking about Kalanje. So I'm, and pretty soon we're going to be hearing from Nkechi Taifa is going to be jumping in. But I just wanted to add a few things not related directly to his political, so-called political activities, which we're going to talk about with Nkechi in a moment. But other things, not only was Kalanje on the radio for so many years doing those beautiful morning readings, he also later served on the WPFW board, and not only the WPFW board, on the National Pacifica board for many, many, many years. He was a close friend of mine, and of course Tony's as well. He was a very close friend of Brother Bay's, who some of you still remember. And Kalanje and I used to take long trips up to one of Brother Bay's healers. Mm. And Kalanje was just so caring always for Brother Bay as he was going through his health challenges. Kalanje also served on the a very important organization in Ward 8, the Board of Family Medical and Counseling Services. I watched him and sometimes attended meetings of that board that he was on. Very, very important work. And he was, again, he was a Renaissance man. He was and I think his own clothing.
He was a tailor. A master tailor. And not only did he make his pants, his shirts, his vests, his coats, but he also created his own hats. I mean, this stuff was, he was something else. He truly was. Yeah,
yes, he was. He created his own hats. So he was truly a Renaissance man. And he was also, I'm not sure what word to use, but he was also a health guru. He was very, very into healthy eating, and he used to prepare these foods and give it out to people in need. He would tirelessly prepare these very special salads. I forget what it's called, Kalanje's Kitchen something, but he was a health guru.
Let me share a story about that.
Mm-hmm.
A personal eyewitness testimony. Clonjé, at some point when he was in his late 70s and early 80s, he began developing vitiligo.
That's right.
I think he had it on his hands and maybe other parts of his body. And I ran into Clonjé one day at Blue Now on Georgia Avenue, the herb shop on Georgia Avenue. And I looked at his hands and noticed, you know, we shook his hands and greeted him and noticed that the vitiligo was gone. I said, Clonjé, you know, what happened? He said, oh, you know, he came down to Blue Now, consulted with Dooku, and he created this compound that using herbs in which he was able to produce this ointment, which he rubbed on his hands that increased the melanin production in his skin and eradicated the vitiligo. This is how otherworldly Clonjé was. You know, just when you thought you knew the man, he then pulled another rabbit out of his hat and showed you another dimension of his personality. So
yes, he did.
Was multidimensional and
absolutely
and beautiful soul.
Joe. Yes. And Tony, as you know, this is a very perfect time to be talking about Clonjé, you know, his 95th birthday, but also because this Friday, WPFW is celebrating our 48th anniversary. And hopefully some of you will be attending, but it's a great time to honor an ancestor like that, like Clonjé, as we're celebrating our 48th birthday. And I'm going to give one more health-related story, and then we're going to jump into all the other things that Clonjé did. As some people may remember, you know, my show used to be almost exclusively focused on health, and we would bring in this natural vision healer from California who would come in and give workshops. And Dick Gregory would attend, and Brother Bay, and Clonjé was always there. He and I attended quite a number of these workshops. And one of the things that the vision person did was suggest that people walk backwards instead of as a way to strengthen your eyesight, walk backwards. Clonjé did that for years. Right outside of his home, he would walk backwards for blocks and blocks, and his vision improved. So again, Clonjé had many facets to his beautiful personality, and I'm thankful that I was close friends with him, as was Tony. We were there during his transition. I can remember it. There was quite a crowd of us there, Tony, maybe about 10 people. And we were there, of course, at his home going service at Plymouth with Reverend Hagler. And he is definitely a very important part of the WPFW community. Maybe we should jump in. I'm not sure if Nkechi is going to be coming on. So let's jump into her. And maybe if the...
Yes, I am on.
Oh, you're here. Okay, Nkechi. So glad you're with us.
Well, I'm thrilled to join this phenomenal conversation about our dear brother, Clonjé Tour Olusegun.
Yes, and we can. So tell us about the. Let's start maybe with Nkobra, and then work our way through all the things that Clonjé did.
Yeah, my connection with Brother Clonjé far even predated Nkobra. I mean, I'm going to go back to St. Kitts, okay, because that's where his family is from. That's where my family is from. Mm. He comes from staunch Garveyites. I come from staunch Garveyites in terms of my grandfather. He was in Harlem. My mother's family was in Harlem. And then coming to D.C., I just remember early on, I'm talking about 70s now, when there used to be study sessions at his house. I don't remember.
Yes.
Euclid Street, Fairmont Street, something like that off of 13th Street.
13th yes. Fairmont, right?
13th
right. Fairmont. Second house from the corner.
You
yes.
got
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. And a lot house. Of people came to that house.
Yeah. And I even remember before a Sarasate Society became a Sarasate Society, they used to have his name was Vostra, or before it, or, anyway, My brain is just gone dead. But to come to talk about vegetarianism and all of that was at Kalonji's house, the seeds of everything. That in Cobra, the seeds for the reparations movement in DC through Kalonji, the seeds of the Republic of New Africa in DC through Brother Kalonji. So it was his health, it was his WPFW connections, but he was very much a community activist. He was a Garveyite. He was with the UNIA, the seeds of DC's UNIA, Brother Kalonji, just about every social issue, okay, that gained prominence here in the city, Brother Kalonji was the seed of, you know. So
absolutely. Yeah. So Nkechi, let's go a little bit step by step, because as I'm always surprised what the younger audiences and even some of the older people don't know. We think people know things, but we're reaching a lot of different folks. National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations in America. Tell us about NCOPRA.
Yes, well, Kalonji was a founding member of NCOPRA, as I was, which was founded September the mid-September 1987 in Washington, D.C. He I followed the call from Brother Mario Bubakari Obadeli, who was living in D.C. that time, that it was time to broaden and expand the reparations movement from the Revolutionary Fringe, which we were, to more mainstream, the sororities and fraternities, the churches, the social organizations and the like. And Kalonji came up through social work, actually, in New York. I know he was responsible for the New York youth services and social work and all of that. So he brought all that to DC and really helped to expand the reach of the reparations movement beyond those of us on the Revolutionary Fringe, I guess you could say. So Kalonji was the first male co-chair of NCOPRA, National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America. He and his wife, our dear sister, Kupinda Olusegun, were very much involved in helping to set the groundwork for the phenomenal escalation that we see today with respect to reparations all across the country. They were the seeds of much of that.
Nkechi, let me just say, add to what you're saying. We'll jump from NCOPRA to another activity, of course, UNIA, but this is one example. Kalonji spent over 20 years representing NCOPRA in Geneva at the Human Rights Convention. 20 years in Geneva. I didn't know that. So I'm sorry, yeah. Nkechi, anything else about NCOPRA? And then let's jump next to UNIA for a few minutes.
Yeah, just the thing that, again, he was the seed for just about everything, the internationalization, the globalization of the reparations movement. Kalonji was at the helm of just about you know, everything. You know, he was a mentor, he was a father figure. I just cannot, there's just so many accolades, many of which you and my dear brother, Karak, Tony Browder, have already discussed previously.
Yeah, so, but let's keep going, because again, Kalonji embraces a lot of the history here in DC, that's very important. So let's talk about, for a minute or two, Kalonji being a founding member and trustee of the Banneker Woodson Division of the UNIA. and of course, that division is very proud of Kalonji. I can remember a special service they gave for him, and they still have a memorial page up for Kalonji. Anything, Tony or Nkechi, you want to say about Kalonji and Banneker Woodson Division of the UNIA?
Well, I just want to say, generally, I'm going to turn it over to Tony. I just want to say he was a true Garveyite, and he came from a family of Garveyites as well. So he just carried on the tradition from his family, from his lineage, from his ancestors, and brought it to bear here in D.C. Take it away, Tony.
Yeah, well, Nkechi, you really hit the nail on the head when you identify Kalonji's Caribbean roots. His mother, Anna Sack Godwin Beckford, was from Jamaica, and his father, Joseph Godwin, was from St. Kitts, and both of them were Garveyites, and they lived in Harlem. So you take that combination of the Caribbean, race-conscious Africans moving from the Caribbean to Harlem, where Marcus Garvey, who briefly lived in Washington, D.C. I have a letter that I think Brother Senghor gave me this letter. When Garvey came from Jamaica to the United States, he was to meet with Booker T. Washington to map out a strategy for developing a broader race consciousness. But Washington died, and Garvey wound up settling in Washington, D.C. for a while, and he actually stayed at the Thurgood Marshall, what is now the Thurgood Marshall Center, what was known then in 1926 as the 12th Street YMCA. And I have a copy of an article that Garvey wrote that was published in a Washington newspaper in 1926, and the address for his residence was 1816 12th Street Northwest. So Garvey stayed at the 12th Street YMCA before he moved to Harlem and changed the world. So Kalonji comes out of this culturally conscious stew, if you will, where we had Africans from the Caribbean, Africans from the continent, Africans from throughout the United States migrating to Harlem. And this year, 2025, represents the 100th anniversary of the official beginning of the Harlem Renaissance, when Alain Locke published a magazine survey graphic, which introduced the new Negro and the concepts behind the Harlem Renaissance. So Kalonji was born in this culturally rich environment that shaped every facet of his life. And when he ultimately resettled to Washington, D.C., he brought that energy with him. And that energy was passed down to every organization that he either founded or worked with. And as a consequence, he touched the lives of tens of thousands of people, which is, I assume, the primary reason why we're honoring him today. You know, we can't forget this phenomenal spirit, because his energy, his consciousness, his power is needed more today than any point in recent history that I can think of.
Absolutely. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is Joni with To Heal DC. We're spending this hour, a very special hour, in honor of our friend, our brother, Kalonji, who was born today, April 21st, 1930. Tony Browder is with us for the hour, and hopefully Nkechi can stay with us as well. I'm not sure if we're going to be playing any music today. Maybe not, but we can have music in our hearts and in our spirits. I'm not sure if we can take any phone calls. So I'm not sure I can. Okay, phone calls, yes. So if somebody wants to call in and speak or ask a question about Kalonji, the number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. And I remember Kalonji talking about, of course, his parents and those magnificent parades in New York City. I think it was mostly in Harlem that I believe his parents definitely participated in those huge parades among the Garveyites in New York City. Again, we are honoring Kalonji, very much part of our history, WPFW, a beautiful Renaissance person. In addition to everything else, as Tony said, very, very kind and caring person. He always had time to help somebody in need, especially his friends, and again, was very involved with WPFW, very involved with several other organizations. Tony, I don't know if there's anything you might want to read from his
his homegoing program?
Yes, his sure. homegoing program. And some of us, I think, Tony, you were there with us. We worked together for a couple of weeks, if not more, putting that program together. So we want to thank all the people who were involved in preserving that history.
Sure. Well, Joni, thank you for this opportunity to commemorate, you know, my dear friend, my brother and my Jegna. And let me just frame some of the comments that I'm going to share from his homegoing program. I recall vividly, I received a phone call from Brother Ah on January the 30th, 2013. And he told me that Brother Kalanje had a stroke, and that he was in the hospital. He was in Seventh-day Adventist Hospital, and that he was, you know, essentially brain dead, and that he was on life support, and his family was waiting for other family members to come visit him and say their goodbyes before they took him off of life support. So I jumped in my car and rushed down to the ICU unit, and I saw you there. Brother I was there. Brother Singor was there, Brother Bay was there, and others. And I remember, Joni, you know, a group of us, as you mentioned previously, stood around his bed, held his hand, stroked his head. Brother I pulled out his flute. Singor started a chant. Brother Bay chimed in with the chant. And for about a half an hour, we just serenaded this brother.
Yes.
We thanked him for the goodness that poured from his heart into this community. And I didn't realize it then, but we were paving the way for his soul to leave his body and begin its journey into the ancestral realm, where he would be greeted by so many other cultural warriors. Mm-hmm. And that moment, you know, touched me, because that was the first time in my life I had ever been in the presence of someone as they made their transition. And being there allowed me to do the same thing for my mother 2.5 years later, and then do the same thing for Dr. Welsing 44 days after that. So, you know, Kalanje has opened the door for me for so many levels. And yes, he is known as Baba to many people, but those of us who were, you know, close to him know him by many different names, and know him on many different levels. So I'm just speaking of my friend, you know, from my heart to his. So please understand that. And as I was at my altar this morning, you know, I have his program on my altar. So it was easy for me to grab that and review his life, to be able to share aspects of his life with you. But Joni, you had something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I want to just say we have, I think, one or two callers on the line. So let's see if we can bring in some of the callers. Again, this is WPFW. We're honoring our dear Baba Kalanje, our dear brother, our dear friend. Caller, if you want to jump in and share your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or question. Let's see if we can make this work. We have a new engineer with us today. Shall we wait for the caller, or shall we move on?
Hello? I can
yes.
hear now.
Good
yes,
morning.
Awesome. Good morning. Good morning, Joni. Good morning, Karak.
Good morning.
Your name and where you're calling from?
I recognize this voice. This is another new engineer at WPFW, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, this is Cody calling from Upper Marlboro.
Hello.
Hello, hello. I'm just taking in all the information on Baba Kalanji, and I never got to meet him. But I'm just wondering, as a young person who is, you know, finding my grounding in this work, what ways can I honor his essence? What ways can I take these into my life now? How can I take the work that he's done and further it?
That's a beautiful question. I'm going to give a short answer, but I'm going to turn it over to Tony because I think you'll have a lot to say. But having met you once, Cody, you are already embodying Kalanji's spirit because she worked with some of us, PFW programmers, as we were doing a special recording. And your kindness and your caring about what we were doing was quite striking. So I'm very glad to meet you. And we look forward to meeting you more. But Tony, what would you suggest? What would you say?
I would say use Brother Kalanji's life as a model for your life. That is to be involved in your community, to be concerned about your health and the well-being of others around you, and to not be afraid to explore life. I'm looking at Brother Kalanji's homegoing program, and there's a poem in there that I like to share that I think speaks to Brother Cody's question about what we can do. And it's a very short poem, one that was written on the 10th of October, 1964. So these are words that came from the mind of Brother Kalanji back when he was known as Vince Godwin. And this poem is called Thinking Black on It All. He says, I think black, and that I think is the way I think. Black is where from which I look out. Black is the warmth from which I reach out. Black is the labyrinth from which I perceive. Black is the fullness from which I summon. Black is the depth in which I cry. Black is the breath from which I shout or whisper out. Black is where I am that I am. So I can help to think black on it all. So at a time when we're dealing with the erasure of things black, we need to be blacker than black, blacker than ever before. And we need to understand it's more than just the color of one's skin. It is a consciousness. It is a state of mind. And when you are centered in that state of mind, it's a state of mind that also transcends melanin, if we really understand the essence, the spiritual essence of what blackness is. And so we can honor Kalanji by calling his name and expanding on the things that he did. So being of service to WPFW is one way that you can honor him, helping to financially support this radio station as it celebrates its 48th year of broadcasting. If we want to ensure that it's here for 50 years, 75 years, 100 years, it's going to require multiple spirits like Brother Kalanji to be involved on multiple levels to make sure that this station is secure, to make sure that this community is secure, to make sure that the Black people and oppressed people throughout this country and around the world are secure so that our voices will continue to be heard. So in lifting up Brother Kalanji, we are lifting up the voices of sisters and brothers around the world who stand on something important, something valuable, something worth sacrificing your life for.
Absolutely. Again, we are honoring Brother Kalanji. Yes, go on, Kichi.
Yeah, I just want to also add to look into the issues that were near and dear to Baba Kalanji's life, issues dealing with reparations, issues dealing with the independent Black nation state right here on this soil, issues dealing with spirituality, issues dealing with the upliftment of Marcus Garvey and Africa for the Africans, those at home and abroad, Up You Mighty Race, all of those things, all of those issues and so many more that was so very near and dear to Baba Kalanji's heart, in which he worked tirelessly his entire life up until his last breath you know, look at some of those issues and see what just fits into your own life as well.
Yeah. Okay, we have another caller waiting. Caller, jump in, your name, comment, where you're calling from.
Yes, I'm calling from Upper Marlboro, and I have an emotional attachment to Baba Kolanji Olusegun. It was through him that my son Lumumba, which is Nongchi, I get to know quite a number of things. And this was through another gentleman we used to call Baba Kwasi. He was the one who introduced Lumumba to Baba Kolanji, and Baba Kolanji became his mentor. He was Lumumba's mentor. And I remember because of the influence of Baba Kolanji, there was a program in 2017 where Donald Trump was telling four of our sisters who were challenging some of the policies he was advocating then in his first year. So he was saying if they did not like his policy, they should go back to where they came from. And Lumumba was sitting with me and we were watching the program. He said, well, you are from Germany. Your mother is from Britain. Now, if you don't like what they are doing, why don't you go back to what the sisters were saying? Why don't you go back to Germany? Okay. Now, this is my feeling here. If anybody can help me have contact with Baba Kwasi, because Baba Kwasi was the one who introduced Lumumba to.
Did we lose you?
I think he was cut off. Yes.
Oh dear. Sorry. So I'm not sure if you, Tony, got the gist of what he was saying. I was waiting for him to finish that thought. I think I remember this young man that Kalanji was close to.
No, I'm not familiar with him, but Joni, if you don't mind, I'd like to share some comments that were shared in Brother Kalanji's homegoing program.
Yes, please do.
From two colleagues of his from New York, Dr. James Turner, who was the founding director and chair emeritus of the Africana Studies and Research Center at Cornell University. He came out of Harlem, and Baba Lenny Dunstan, who was the former director of New York State Division of Youth and president emeritus of the National Association of Black Social Workers. And Black Social Workers included the national convention last week. So they wrote a paragraph about Kalanji, and I really would like to read it, share it with the audience, because it really speaks to his essence from two brothers who knew him and knew him well. They stated that Kalanji Olusegun is the epitome of the unsung hero. He is always there, getting the work done, but not always the one receiving the spotlight. We met Kalanji, then known as Vince Godwin, during the early 1960s in our first jobs as social workers in the New York City Youth Board, where he was our boss. Kalanji was a serious, disciplined brother who had graduated from Lincoln University. We respected his intelligence and often spent time after work talking with him about the struggles of the day. Although he was very clear about his expectations of us, he looked after us and covered our back when we engaged in more radical endeavors. As a result, we gave him 110% so he would not be compromised as our supervisor. We introduced him to Malcolm X, who was living in East Elmhurst at the time, and Kalanji was turned on to Brother Malcolm's teachings. Decades later, we worked with Kalanji in NCOBRA, the reparations movement. We will never forget the impact, guidance, and role Brother Kalanji had on our young lives in New York and the upward trajectory he sparked in our careers. We will never forget our Jagna. Now, this comes from two brothers who are giants in the social work field, giants in the field of education. So when I spoke earlier about Baba Kalanje shaping the consciousness of tens and thousands of people, that was not an exaggeration. So it's important that we understand who we had in our presence here in Washington, D.C. and on WPFW, and whose spirit is still accessible to us. And to have the honor today on his 95th birthday to lift his name up, to introduce his name, his legacy, his works to brothers like Cody and others who've never knew the man, but the mere fact that we're talking about him and we're expressing, you know, deep felt appreciation, heartfelt appreciation, helps those listeners who didn't know him understand the importance of service. Another son of Harlem, Dr. John Henry Clark, often said that service is the highest form of prayer, right? Mm-hmm. And so this service transcends your religious differences. It transcends your economic differences. It transcends your political expressions or, you know, your cultural expressions. Yeah. It's something that comes from the heart. And this brother was 100% heart, and the heart was the seat of the soul.
Absolutely.
And his soul is expressing itself. Yes. Through us remembering him at this hour.
Yes, absolutely. I think have two more callers. We're going to take both of them real quick because we are running out of time. Caller, if you can jump on and say your name and your question.
Hello, how you doing?
Great. What's your name?
My name is Charles.
Charles!
Brother, hey, how you doing, Joni? I was going to talk about Brother Kalanje, a dark-skinned brother, but he wound up getting vitiligo, which turns the skin white.
Yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
And what happened was I saw him one day and his skin was turning back to its natural tone. And I asked him, what did he do? And he said, I just followed my herbalist's advice. I said, but what exactly did you do? He said, well, I took more vitamin D. I sunbathed on top of my roof in the apartment that he was in. And he took some something from Chinatown called octopus dye. And that was a part of it. But what he did, he transformed himself.
Right.
He did whatever it would take to transform his skin. But not just his skin, his mind and his spirit was transformed. And it transformed everybody around him, like myself. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the brother for the transformation.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles Owens. Let's see if we can jump to the last and final caller real quick.
Yes. Yeah, I got cut off. I didn't get the request I made about Baba Kwasi that actually introduced my son Lumumba to Baba Kalanje, and he became a mentee of Baba Kalanje. If I can have contact with Baba Kwasi.
Well, if you can leave your number with the engineer,
I will leave my number with him.
Yes. Yes, very good. And on top of everything else, I think it's come through how Kalanje was extremely kind. He was a very kind man. He cared about people, and he went out of his way to show that kindness and caring. He was very sensitive. So again, he was a Renaissance man, many, many parts to Kalanje. We're glad we could share him today. This was just kind of a last minute change. And I'm glad that Tony Browder jumped in. I'm glad that Nkechi was able to jump in. And I think we have time for a minute from each of you. Nkechi, let's start with you.
Well, I just want to say real quick, that voice of Baba Kalanje Olusegun, that voice, that powerful, strong voice was just so very mesmerizing, and it graced the airways of WPFW and those morning meetings. I just want to say that voice. Yes, it is.
Yes, and anything he said. Maybe we will be able to get some of those recordings someday and share them on the air. But very, very powerful voice, not only for the morning readings. He used to come on with me, talk about healthcare issues. Just that voice was amazing. Tony.
Brother Kalanji was also a metaphysician. He was the first person I knew to talk about the I Ching. He was the first person I knew who talked about Ifa. He was a master astrologer. And I remember walking upstairs in his house to the attic where we used to have our study group sessions. He painted astrological signs on the steps and stars on the steps.
Yes.
Artist, right? But what was amazing, you know, I knew the brother, you know, for a number of years and thought I knew him. But it wasn't until we were at his homegoing service that I found out that he also was an inventor who had a on a amphibious automobile. Now, my mind was just blown. You know, here I thought I knew this brother, but there's so many layers to him. And I see, Joni, we have a message that Von Martin is on the line.
Oh, okay, great. Von Martin, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Joni. I must compliment you on doing what you're doing, you know, because oftentimes I remember of my old good friends like Askia and Kalanji and so on, you know. And I just wanted to say that this man was such a nice man, you know, kind, gentle, and he was always complimentary and offered support to me and my work and my team and what we were doing, you know. He admired what we were doing, and he expressed his admiration by communicating with us and letting us know, offering us support, you know. And I just wanted to share that because he's one of those that I miss a lot, man.
Absolutely. And I'm proud to say that Von Martin is going to be receiving a special award Friday night. As people may know, he was the first person to jump on the airwaves, would take the A-Train. And I'm just going to say, we love Von Martin. So I'm very happy Von called in just now. And anything, we maybe have one more minute left, but let's make a pledge, Tony. We're going to do whatever we can to try at some point in time to share Kalanji's voice. I know there are recordings around. I know I want to also thank Kapinda, Kalanji's wife. I know she has some recordings, but we're going to continue to keep Kalanji's spirit alive and well on WPFW.
Indeed, Joni, and thank you so much for this opportunity to serve as your co-host. And Kichi, thank you as well for opening the door and making sure that my voice was heard on a weekly basis on WPFW, and it was great seeing you Saturday.
Yeah, and I'll see both of y'all hopefully at WPFW's anniversary this Friday. I'm looking
this forward. Friday night. We probably still have some tickets available. Tony had picked out a beautiful song, so we can think about it in our spirits. Pharaoh Saunders, Gotta Have Freedom. We had that picked out to share with you today, as well as Bob Marley's Redemption Song, which was requested by Kalanji's beautiful wife, Kapinda. But we are thankful that Kalanji lives. Kalanji is present with us today and always. We wish him a very happy 95th birthday, where he was born right there in New York City, and he's still here with us in Washington, D.C. So thank you, Tony. Thank you, Nkechi. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to the engineer, Robert, and I will be back in a second hour, but we won't be talking about Kalanji then, but we will keep him in our hearts and our spirits forever.
Thank you, Joni. Thank you, Tony.
All right, peace.
Thank you, Beth. Peace.
There are voices still calling across the years, and they're all crying across the ocean, and they're crying across the land, and they will to we all come to understand. None of us are free. None of us.
us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. And there are people still in darkness, and they just can't see the light. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right. We got to try to feel for each other. Let our brothers know that we care. Got to get the message, send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. Now I swear, your salvation isn't too hard. Shining bright right before our eyes. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free.
None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free.